on the healing. And so today I'm going to be talking about the healing question part two. I do want to reiterate some of the points I made last week or 2 weeks ago, just in case you missed it or to refresh your memories, because what I'm going to talk about today, which is mainly focused on the question of why does it seem that all people are not healed, you have to understand first week one. And so I do want to cover a few points there. Now, I want to ask the same questions that I asked 2 weeks ago, which is, the first question is, who in here has seen somebody supernaturally healed in their lifetime? Raise your hand. If you've seen somebody supernaturally healed in your life, okay? And now, who here has prayed or believed in the healing of another person, but it appears that nothing has happened? Raise your hand. All right. So it's about the same number of people. Now, the question is, what I covered last week, there's four questions that I want to look at in these two talks, and the four questions are on your outline. What is God's will regarding healing, which we covered at length last time? Does God ever bring sickness on people or use sickness for his purpose? The third question is, from where does sickness originate? And the fourth question is, why are not all people healed? And the final question is the one I'm going to focus on at great depth today. Now, I want to cover again quickly a couple of the points that I made last time. Number one, you have to understand that the world essentially operates what I'd call by three principles, what I call three operative principles in the world. They are creation, the fall, and redemption. The concept of the creation is that God created everything perfect in an order, in harmony, with purpose, and with life. The fall contaminated all of God's creation. It polluted it. And so, therefore, suffering, sickness, decay, destruction, and death are all the result of the fall. And everything that you see in life that are affected by those things, which are decay, destruction, sickness, sin, are all the result of the fall. And we're still wrestling with that issue to this very day. And the third operative principle in the world is the concept of redemption, that God's plan is to restore the created order, to bring back harmony, life, purpose, and right living, and so forth in his plan, and to eliminate the pollution, to eliminate the contamination of the fall. That is the work of redemption, which God has been working on all the time. Now, I want you to repeat a phrase that you spoke last time, and I want you to repeat this with me. Say, sickness is pollution. Say that. Sickness is pollution. Say it again. Sickness is pollution. And now remember, God's plan in redemption is to get rid of pollution, is to restore the created order, which includes sickness. All right? Now, we spoke last time, again, about God's covenant people. We went through Exodus and through Deuteronomy, and showing that God's covenant with his people was that they would be free from the sicknesses that he placed on Egypt. They would not be contaminated by them, and that they would walk in a life of healing and health if they listened to his voice and followed his commandments. Those were the promises that in the nation of Israel. And that's where the Lord claimed, I am the Lord who heals you. And then in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the blessings and the curses. If the people of God will follow his laws and his commandments, then they will be blessed and they'll find health for their being. If they do not follow the commandments of God, then they will be cursed, and which includes sickness. Sickness was one of the curses, and so on. Then we looked in the prophets, and we saw how God would often be describing the nation of Israel in the prophets. He'd be describing their sinful condition through using an analogy of sickness. And he'd be talking about how they had open wounds, and God was describing their sinful condition, but he was using sickness as the analogy. And God sees sin and sickness interrelated. They are very interrelated concepts. The reason that there's sickness in the world is because there is sin in the world. Does that mean that we get sick because we're in sin? Sometimes, okay? Not always, but sometimes. That is a factor in which we will cover today. Then we looked at how Yeshua and the prophets, how God proclaimed the coming of the Messiah, would stand in our place. He would remove sin from us, and he would remove sickness from us when he went to death and he rose again. And then we looked in the Gospels. We saw how Yeshua fulfilled that promise, and that how he preached the kingdom of God, which included freedom from sickness, and how he would heal the sick and afflicted. And then we looked and saw how he enabled the believers to go forth with that same message, the kingdom of God, and to free people from sin and sickness, and so forth. And then we covered what I'd call two people who are often used to try to prove that God is not his will to heal. We used the case of Job, and we showed that, yes, while Job got sick, and yes, while God was somewhat involved in that, that Job also got healed. That God's goal was to bring final healing to Job's life, not sickness. And then we looked at Paul's thorn, and we showed that it was clearly that was not a sickness by any means whatsoever. And then we came to the essential conclusion that it is not God's will for anybody to be sick. I mean, that was the conclusion of last time. If you weren't here and you want to hear that tape, you ought to get it. Because I think if you have an open mind, you will be totally and completely convinced that is the will of God, that all people be healed. And that's part of his redemptive plan, is to bring people back from that from a sick condition. So, if it is God's will to heal everybody, then why are not all people healed? That's the big question, okay? Because it's clear, we even had a survey here, that when we, you know, and I can say it for myself, I have definitely experienced supernatural healing in my own body and on people that I have laid hands on, and I've also been sick and not overcome the healing and have laid hands on people and they have not been healed. And so the question is, why are not all people healed? And that's what we're going to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's turn to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 16. It says, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded the Messiah in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through the Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in the Messiah, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore the Messiah's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, if you look at particularly in verse 16, which is the verse about the new creation, that the scripture says that anyone who knows the Lord, that knows the Messiah, is a new creation. It essentially is saying that person, it has a totally changed life, that their life of sin and bondage has been changed, that they have a whole new set of priorities, new outlook, and new goals in their life. They have a person who knows the Lord has the power of God in them, and the sinful nature is destroyed, according to Romans 6, and you have become a son or daughter of God, and that's the truth. Okay? Those are all truthful statements from Scripture. And so, how many in here would you say, how many of you here believe that Yeshua is the Messiah today? Raise your hand. If you believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. All right, now, how many in here could honestly say that you never sin or you never struggle with sin in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. It's amazing. Fortunately, no one raised their hand. If someone raised their hand, I'd go talk to you quickly. Okay. Find out what your miracle is. Okay, but wait a second. It says right here in the scripture that I just read that we're free and that we're a new creation, and that the power of sin has been destroyed in our lives. But everyone here is acknowledging that we're falling short. Why is that the case? I mean, the Word says it. The Word says that we should be able to live a life free from sin, that there's no excuse for sin. And quite frankly, there is no excuse for sin. Okay? There is no... you're saying you believe that you can walk free of sin in the holiness and power of God? I sure do, because the Word of God says it. Do I believe anybody is able to or does? I don't think I've found anybody yet who does, but I believe it's possible. Well, then, what's the dichotomy? What's the contradiction? It doesn't seem to make any sense, okay? Well, let's examine why people don't seem to be able to walk the way God says they're walking, and then we're going to show it how it reveals it with healing too. One factor, as to why we're not able to walk in the purity and the power of God on a continual basis is because we don't believe or we don't comprehend who we are in God and what Yeshua did for us. Okay? That's part of the reason. We don't really believe it when it really comes down to it. You say, well, gosh, what do you mean by that? Let's look at Peter on the water as a good example. We all know the story. Peter's in the boat. Yeshua is walking out on the water. Peter says, oh my gosh, Lord, call me. And so the Lord calls Peter out onto the water. Peter's walking along on the water. Supernatural. It can't be done. It goes against all the laws of gravity and all the laws of nature. It can't be done, but he's doing it. And then he's walking right to Yeshua, and then all of a sudden, Scripture says he looks down. He sees the wind and the waves. And he thinks into his mind, I can't be doing this. And you know what? Boom. He went down. Okay? Why did he go down? Why did Peter suddenly sink in the water? It's because he no longer believed that he could really do it in the Lord. He no longer believed it, and his lack of faith caused him to go down. Part of the reason that we struggle against sin is that we really don't believe we're free from sin. That's part of the reason. We don't really believe that we have the power of God. It's a question of a lack of faith. The same thing is true for healing. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're at work or you're at home, and somebody in your home or your work does something really irritating to you. You know, I'm sure you can think of somebody that does something to you that irritates you. One of your children, or your spouse, or your roommate, or your coworker. And they keep doing it, you know? And it just keeps irritating. Now, we have a choice as to how we're going to handle that situation. We can either trust the Lord and overcome, or blow up. I mean, that's essentially the choice we have. We can choose either way, okay? We can either yield to God or believe Him and not do it. The same thing happens with healing. Let's say we're suddenly attacked by a physical affliction. And you know, the normal physical affliction is, you know, you kind of get that general malaise and you're kind of down and, oh, I don't feel good, or my stomach feels queasy, or my head hurts, or my arm's hurting, or whatever. And so what ends up happening is your concentration goes to your physical affliction. And so it suddenly becomes much harder to believe that you can actually be healed because your concentration is on that. It's the same with the irritating person. The irritation is there, and so you start concentrating on the irritation, and you just want that irritation to stop, and you say, stop it, you know, or whatever. Okay, instead of just with the irritation constantly pounding and pounding, I mean, I've said this before, but the greatest irritation for me is any kind of loud noise, or specifically continual loud noises like barking dogs, okay? I have prayed away two of my neighbor's dogs, okay? I'm serious. And they've gotten new ones back. Fortunately, they don't bark, but there was this one, and I've said this before, this one that was like right behind our bedroom, the way our house was situated, it was almost right behind us, this dog, just constantly, you know? And so I prayed, and so often it was so irritating. That's the kind of thing that just so irritates me. And I'd sit there trying to pray and ask the Lord to take it rather than thinking of ways that I could shoot the dog or find one, some weird little mechanical device that high-pitched sound that caused the dog to go crazy or something like that, you know, just thinking. And so finally I just, oh God, do something. And they got rid of him. You know, I don't know what happened to him. They got rid of him, and they got this cute little dog that, I don't know if they cut his throat or something, but he doesn't bark very much. And so he's kind of cute. And then our other neighbor, right after that, you know, and this other neighbor, I talked to him about the barking dog, and what do? They get a barking dog. You know, and that dog out there, same thing. You know, it must have been related or something. I don't know. And I was like, oh, and I'd be trying to sit, read the word, you know. I'd be reading the word and everything, and I'd be trying to read, and I'd going back from the word to, oh, this dog, you know. And finally, they decide to get rid of it. Oh, it's unbelievable. Now, and then they got another dog. But again, real cute. Seems to keep it inside, doesn't bark. Thank God. You know, it's not that I have anything against dogs. I just don't like continuous noises. But that's what I mean. The concentration of the irritation was keeping me from being in the Spirit and overcoming the way God wanted me to overcome. Okay? Now, maybe in a sense, I did overcome by praying and I got rid of them. You know, thank the Lord. But the point is that that's what happens with external things. We concentrate. The same thing happens with physical afflictions. We concentrate on them so much that we have a difficulty sometimes believing the Lord to get rid of them. Now you say, well, but what if God through sickness is trying to teach me something? I mean, maybe God's trying to teach me and so I'm sick that way. I say, well, all right, but let's take the irritation. Does God want you to sin? Does he want you to be overcome with sin because the irritation's there? Of course not. He wants you to be able to overcome the irritation. The same thing with sickness. He wants you to be able to overcome and be free from that sickness. So then you say, well, you mean to say that my experience with healing is tied to my faith? My answer is yes. So is your whole life. Okay, but there's nothing new about that. Let me give you an example. The Word of God says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. The Word also says that if you lack wisdom, that you're to ask of God who gives generously without reproach, and it shall be given to him. So what do we do when we get into a jam and we need some advice or we need some wisdom? We need to know what to do. We're in a kind of a situation. What do we normally do? We call up a friend. Hey, let me tell you what the situation is. What should I do about this situation? This is the thing. Or we sit there, we figure out, okay, if I do this and I do that, then I can figure out how often to do. We go to God last. He's like our last resort. When nothing seems to work, oh yeah, oh, that's right, there is a God in heaven. I seem to remember it. It's remarkable. And maybe I should ask the Lord. You see, this is what I'm saying. Same thing goes with healing. Somebody gets sick or you get sick. All of a sudden you go, oh no, we're sick. So what do? Man, run to the store. You get the medicine. You go call the doctor. You run to the hospital. And then on the way to the store, you say, oh Lord, don't forget, I'm sick. I ask that we kind of throw up a perfunctory prayer about healing. Oh God, but you know, just heal me and so forth. And then we wonder why we don't see more healing. It's because we don't put God first. We don't overcome in faith and fight the thing, realizing that it's the will of God to heal you. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything against medicine, doctors, or hospitals. I think they're all gifts from God. Okay? There's no question about that. But what I am saying is that we need to turn to Him first and learn how to fight in faith first and then go to these things and so on. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 in the Old Covenant. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Second Chronicles 16, and beginning in verse 7. Second Chronicles 16, verse 7. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. Asa was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. The events of Asa's reign from beginning to end are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. Look at that. Again, we're not saying anything against doctors, but the point is where was he going to put his trust? In God or man? What about you? Where are you going to put your trust? In God or man to heal you? Okay? Again, I'm not saying don't go to doctors, but learn how to turn to the Lord. We say to ourselves, why don't we see more healing? Why don't we see more miracles? Well, folks, when you are afflicted with a sickness, why don't you first try to pray through on some of the smaller items and then learn to get the victory on those so that then you can learn and build up to faith against the big ones? But if you just throw up a perfunctory prayer, wait 5 minutes, no answer, run to the medicine cabinet or the doctor and get your answer, how do you expect to see a miracle? Okay? I mean, faith takes work. Okay? It does. It means fighting against the circumstances, against the natural events, like Peter. Peter had to believe in Yeshua to walk on the water. It was against all natural logic. But he believed and he was able to walk. Okay, the same thing goes with all of us. Are we going to believe at that level? I remember a few years ago, this was a number of years ago, actually probably about 10 or 11 years ago. My father had a ruptured disc in his back, and he had to have an operation. And the doctor met me in the hospital. I visited him. The doctor said, you better watch out. Disc problems are hereditary. You know, it was like, and I didn't even think about it, but it was like I was taking in like a negative thought almost, and I didn't really dwell on it. But, 2 days later, I started getting the same symptoms. It was amazing. Tremendous pain in my back. Couldn't hardly move. Couldn't sleep for 3 days. Pains down my leg. I mean, it was exactly the same symptoms. It was beyond belief. And, I mean, it was excruciating. I wasn't able to sleep. And finally, I was getting to be really grouchy, around the house. And I'll never forget, I think I've told you the story before. Stacy, famous line, she says to me, "Jamie, would you stop complaining? Either go to the doctor or get healed, but stop complaining." And so I thought, well, all right, because the Lord was teaching me a lot about healing, I'm going to give this thing a real shot. So I remember I went out to the deck in the back, took the scripture, sat down, tried to get as comfortable as I could, started reading the word on various promises and healing, and started saying, "God, you're going to have to give me a breakthrough, and so on. About a half hour later, I got up, and still some pain, not as great. By the end of the day, it's gone just like that. Never had any problems since, you see? And see, it was the power of God. Now, I've never had back problems since, but I've also had other sickness where I haven't overcome, And so I'm not saying, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I'm trying to say that God can heal when we take him at his promises. Okay, and then you say, okay, all right, I accept the fact that, I can confess the promises and believe, but I've done that and it doesn't seem to work. What seems to be the difficulty now? I mean, why does it seem to work? Well, that's number two, the second factor on the problem of why we're not always healed. If you remember what I said before, I want to go back to the sin question. Why do we sin even though we are a new creation? I want to tell you this, and we've shared this before, that prior life's experiences can cause strongholds in one's life. Okay? I'm talking about spiritual strongholds, mental and emotional strongholds. Often they can be associated with demons and stuff. What I mean by that is, as you're growing up, or even as you get older, you can have experiences that are traumatic. You can go through maybe child abuse. There can be incest. There can be something traumatic that happened when you grew up. It could be anything. It could be that your parents rejected you, or you experienced severe rejection in your life, or whatever. And over a period of time, a stronghold, we almost like might say like a weakness in your personality developed, and it got stuck in there. And then what happens is then you become a believer. And so the question is, and as a believer, you start wrestling with this area, but you can't seem to overcome. It's like the rejection just doesn't seem to get a, you don't seem to get a break from that. Or it could be fear or anxiety, or it could be anything. You always seem to be fearful. You seem to be insecure. And you know that that's not the way believers look, but you can't seem to overcome. Well, what seems to be the problem? Because the scripture says that we should be able to put off the old man and put on the new. Why can't I get free? Why can't I live above that? Why am I constantly having to face the same problem again and again? It's because there is a stronghold in your life from the past that needs to be healed. A spiritual stronghold, something in your personality that God needs to get through to, either through using another person or just by him alone, getting to that area and rooting it out. And sometimes that takes some time. It takes some time to get to that area. The same thing can happen with physical afflictions, okay? Because sin and sickness are deeply related. If you remember the prophets in Isaiah and Jeremiah, which I read last time, how they related sin and sickness together. Well, they can be very much related. If for instance, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Let's say you have an anxiety problem or a worry problem in your life. And that's a stronghold of some sort. That could be related to the past. That can often lead to all kinds of physical ailments. It can lead to stomach disorders, ulcers. It can lead to various kinds of diseases and so forth. Just from the anxiety and the fear that you're constantly carrying with you, it can relate to that very much, that very thing. And so let's take an example. Let's say a sickness suddenly afflicts you of some sort. You're confessing the promises of God. You're believing him, but there's still no healing. Well, it could be connected to an unresolved problem in your own personal life. Okay? It could be linked back literally to something deep inside of you that maybe you're not even aware of, but God is aware of. And He wants to get to that, because without getting to that root problem, you can be healed 1,000 times over physically, but it's going to come back. Because it's related to a personality area. And that can be a major problem. Now turn with me to James chapter 5. James 5, which we read before in the Word. James 5. James 5, verse 13. James 5, verse 13. It says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You see, what's happening here is that the confession of sin is related to physical wellness, physical wholeness. There could be a sin area, an area of your life which is not right with God, which is closed off to the Spirit, that is actually partially causing your physical problems. And until that's dealt with, there's no healing. Now, the Scripture says the answer is to call the elders, to pray over them. And let me tell you what happens, and I'm going to talk about this at the end too, is that it should not just be a question of just laying hands on for healing, but those people laying hands on you should be receiving from God, what is the problem? What's causing it? And maybe expose the sinful, the area that has not been yielded to God in that individual. The person goes, oh, the light goes on, the sin's exposed, the thing's brought to light, the power of God changes it, and then the person can be healed. That's the second factor. Number three, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Folks, the Scripture defines for us a way to live. And if we live contrary to the Scripture, we will suffer the consequences. So therefore, if a person sleeps around or they take drugs, then they're going to likely get AIDS, okay? If they smoke, then they're going to get cancer. If they work every day without taking a Sabbath rest, then they're going to wear themselves down and they're going to get sick, okay? I mean, it's very straightforward. It's very clear. And even as an unbeliever, what you sowed, you will also reap. In other words, let's say a person has sowed 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years of affliction into his body, of negative things over his life, and suddenly that person becomes a believer, and they suddenly expect that they're going to have physical wholeness if they've driven themselves for 20, 30 years? The answer is no, because what you ever sow, you will also reap. When a person becomes a believer, what happens is it stops the destruction of sin at that point, but it doesn't necessarily restore the individual from all the other years of all the destruction they've sowed. What has to happen is, to overcome that, the law of restoration says that once a person becomes a believer, they begin to walk in the Spirit, and when they walk in the Spirit, it restores the past to be made new. Because the Scripture says that God wants to restore the years the locusts have eaten. So He does want to bring restoration. He does want to bring healing and everything. But it's not always going to be instantaneous when the person just turns to the Lord. Because if they've been doing wrong things for a period, then they need to do right things for a period and allow the Spirit to begin to take more and more control. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. Let's look at this. 5 through 8. There's an incredible passage about the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit-filled life. And Romans 8 talks about having life given to your bodies. Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. Now, this is a little complicated, but I'll just try to jump in here. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Messiah, he does not belong to the Messiah. But if Messiah is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now notice this verse. And if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead is living in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. What this means is that as the more we walk in the Spirit, the more our bodies will come under the control of the Spirit and will restore the years the locusts have eaten, okay? And remove from you physical afflictions and other kinds of things of that nature. But it's the work of the law of restoration, which takes some time. Last factor, and then we're going to talk about how you deal with sickness. The last factor is God's discipline. I believe, and you can look at Job as an example. I believe if God is, you know, and a lot of people will say that's not true, God doesn't bring sickness and so forth, and we saw last week from Deuteronomy that God will bring sickness when there's sin. If there's sin, God looses sickness as a consequence of that to shake the people up, to get them right with him. He doesn't want to make anybody sick. He wants all people to be healed, just like he wants all people to be saved. But he'll bring difficult circumstances into people's lives to get them saved, and he'll do the same thing to get them healed or to catch their attention. Just like Job. God was trying to deal with Job. Finally, sickness and all these other things were afflicted to him. When Job finally turned to God and he saw the reality of God and he confessed his sin, what happened? He was healed. Because God's will is always to heal, okay? His will is to heal, but sometimes he has to get a person's attention and to deal with them and so on. So, how do you deal with sickness? Let's say you or me, we're in this situation. I've talked about four reasons why people are not always healed as a believer. And now the question is, let's say suddenly an affliction hits you. How do you deal with it? What do you do? What steps do you take to combat it? Number one, and one of the most important, is that it's recognize that the sickness that you is coming upon you is not God's will. Okay? I want you to say that. Not God's will. The sickness is not God's will. Okay? Definitely not. It's part of the fall. And the redemptive work of the Messiah is to free us from the consequences of the fall and to bring us into total restoration. And so it is not God's will when you get sick. May God use sickness? Possibly. But it's not his will for you to be sick under any circumstances. Then, what do you do if you suddenly get sick? First of all, you realize that it's not from God. It's not his will for you to be sick, okay? And sometimes that's a big stepping stone because you might think to yourself, well, maybe God's healing is for that person but not for me. No, it's for you, okay? Yeshua died for you and he died to take away your sin and your sickness. So it's for you. Definitely. So it's his will. Number two, the second step is to claim the promises of God for healing. If you get sick, I know, don't, you know, if you get sick and you're having to like stay home or do something or whatever for a few days, don't sit in front of the television and watch television all day. Okay, unless you're going to turn it on to some power healing thing or something like that. Because what you need is you need your spirit filled with faith. Because what's happening is your body is afflicted with pain. Your concentration is on your affliction. And what God wants to do is to raise your level of faith so that you can know how to fight the affliction. And so get into the Word. Combat the affliction with the Word, with the teachings of faith and the Word. Okay, number three, and this is one that's often forgot, and probably the most important one in dealing when you get sick, and that is to draw near to God. Draw near to God. I mean, don't waste the opportunity when you're sick doing other things. This is the time when you can draw near to the Lord. Maybe you're sick because you've been overdoing it. Maybe God wants to show you something. And how can he show you if all you're doing is concentrating on everything else but other than getting right with the Lord and allowing him to speak in you? Maybe God wants to show you something that is fundamentally wrong in your life, and the only way he could get to you is by sitting you down and dealing with you and showing it. Maybe the cause of the sickness is related somehow to that very root thing. And unless you spend time and you draw near to God, you're never going to hear it. You're never going to receive what God's trying to say to you. And so you're just going to get over the sickness and everything has changed. Nothing has changed from the way before. Folks, let me tell you, after you're sick, you ought to be tremendously and fundamentally changed by God. I don't care what it is. You've got to be changed, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally. When you come out of a sick bed, brother, you ought to be a different person because you've had time with the Master. And anybody that spends time with God is changed. Okay, if you're not changed when you spend time with God, then there's a root problem in your life. Okay, number four, if you're sick, and this is especially on a chronic nature type of thing, this is important. The Scripture says in James 5, you are to go to the elders. They are to lay hands on you and to pray for you because the Bible says that the prayer of faith will save the sick, will heal the sick. Now, this is a very important note to those people who pray for others in sickness, and that is listen to God. When a person comes to you and prays and asks for prayer for sickness, hear from the Lord. Wait, pray, and open yourself to God. Just don't pray against the affliction, but maybe God wants to tell you something about that person that's the cause of the sickness. And all if you do is you come against the affliction, the person goes away, they're unchanged, they're still sick. It makes them more discouraged. They come back next week, they're prayed for, they're still sick, no change. And then it gets more and more discouraging as for an individual and for the body as a whole, as they see a person who's continually afflicted, unchanged. But maybe God wants to get to the root problem in their life. And that's what God's waiting for, is for somebody to speak into their lives. I remember this other sister, a good friend of mine, who's got a tremendous word. She's got a tremendous prophetic ministry and stuff. And I've seen her used just in incredible ways. And God used her mightily in a service that I was at. And speaking into people's lives in major ways. And this woman came up. She had a physical problem of some sort. And she was very heavy, very, very heavy woman. And so she started praying for her. And all of a sudden the Lord told her to tell her that she's got to lose weight. And that's the problem. And so this sister told the other person, you got to lose weight. That's the problem. And the woman got offended. And she said, how dare you? You know, and walked away. Well, she also didn't get healed. Because, see, that was the problem. You know, it's so easy when you're afflicted to go to somebody else and ask them to lay hands on you so that God will heal. But sometimes it means that we've got to change, okay? Sometimes we're doing something wrong, that God may want to point that out to us, that maybe we're the reason that we're not doing so well. Oh, gee, didn't realize it could be me. It sure could be, okay? And so those people who are laying hands on others have got to be aware of that very fact, okay? Last thing, turn with me to Mark 10. The last scripture, Mark 10. Mark 10. Verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, as Yeshua and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man named Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timothy, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Yeshua of Nazareth, he began to shout, Yeshua, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Yeshua stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Yeshua. What do you want me to do for you? Yeshua asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Yeshua, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Yeshua along the road. Now, the one thing that Bartimaeus didn't have is he didn't have good manners, okay? Because he was shouting at the Son of God, the Messiah. And how dare that we shout at God or shout at the Messiah or shout at anybody, you know? How dare we do? But you see, God didn't heal Bartimaeus because he had good manners, okay? God healed Bartimaeus because he wanted it so bad that nothing was going to stop him from getting the healing. And that's called perseverance. And this is especially true for those of you that have what I call chronic illness. Like our sister Sandy over here that has spina bifida, right? That's caused her not to be able to, that's not spina, whatever. She can't walk. Okay. That we know. And other people that have chronic problems where it's just hanging in there. And the question is, you know, you go forward, somebody comes to town, you go forward, you lay hands on them, they're not changed. Or like Linda's son. And they're not changed. And you get discouraged. And so on. We don't know how many times Bartimaeus called out for God to be healed. You don't know how many times. But he kept it up. He kept going and going and going and going and going and going. And finally, one day, the right man was there. to bring the healing into his life. God wants to heal you and anybody that you know. He wants to bring healing. But sometimes you just got to keep going and don't give up. You've got, if anytime there's a healing line, anytime there is a special teacher, evangelist, or whomever comes into town, says that he has the gift of healing. And if you're sick, go for it. Take it. Don't just say, oh, I went 10 times and it didn't work, and now I'm going to wait for God to touch me. Folks, you got to go. The scripture says that we should be able to come to the throne of grace boldly to receive grace and mercy in time of need. It doesn't offend God that you're going to constantly come to him in request. Yeshua didn't turn around after Bartimaeus screamed at him and turned around and said, shut that guy up. All the disciples said it. They were annoyed. You know, they were annoyed that how dare somebody, you know, rattle the Messiah. You didn't see Yeshua doing that, but it stopped them. Why? It's because Yeshua's ear caught faith in the wind, and he saw that somebody who was persevering to get it, and he wanted to give it. Okay? And so persevere. Don't give up. Go for it. Keep praying. Keep going. When there's an opportunity, take the opportunity. God will bring healing. It's his will. It's always his will to bring healing into your life. Don't give up. I want us to have a time. I want the home group leaders to come forward here. I don't know if it's Diane here or anybody here. Is anybody around here today who likes to play? There she is. Good. Diane, why don't you go up there and get on the guitar and sing something? And and I want the home group leaders to come forward. If you have a physical affliction, or if you want to stand in proxy for somebody, because I'm standing in proxy for my wife today. So if you need to stand in proxy for somebody to be healed, then I want you to come forward and and get ready, because I believe God wants to answer some real prayer today. All right? Let me just get ready for this. I want to, as we get ready to begin to minister, I want to close the service officially. Those of you that want to stay here for a time of ministry, I want you to stay, and we will receive healing together. And otherwise, you can go down to Oneg or do whatever you want to do. But if you're going to talk, please leave the room. Let me close with the benediction, and then we're going to have a time of worship and pray for healing. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yihunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Stay if you want to worship the Lord.